This is episode number 4 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of December 10th, 2007. It's time for me to walk. Coming up on this week's show, we've got our current distractions, gaming news, our thoughts on gaming journalism, new releases, listener email, and the fabulous question of the week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions. My name is Chris and I am joined by Jeff.
What's happening?
And Jason.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you guys doing this week?
Good, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Jeff, how are you, Jeff? What's going on?
Great. Just chilling. Waiting for the stress of the holidays to sink in.
Oh, don't get me started. Oh, wait, are we supposed to shop for the holidays? I didn't get that memo.
I'm making, like, Rice Krispie bars. That's what you're... Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I spoiled it for you, Chris.
Damn it! Now my Christmas is ruined!
Am I getting them? Am I getting some?
No, you're Canadian.
I don't know if they'll cross the border into Canada.
Yeah.
You don't get jet crap.
There's restrictions and stuff.
That's right. Well, it's been a busy week for me, guys. I don't know. How about you? How about you guys? What have you guys been... what's distracting you from real life this week?
All kinds of stuff. Married life, I guess. So I'm still trying to balance the whole newlywed stuff into my, you know, my gaming stuff, which is, you know, way more important, obviously.
So wait. What I asked what was distracting you from real life, and you said your married life. Your married life is distracting you from your real life?
It's such a blissful fantasy, Chris, that it doesn't even seem real.
This is
like
all
I'm living
confusing.
In a dream.
Does your wife listen to this podcast?
Yes, she does.
Damn okay. it!
Yeah, probably not anymore.
Sorry, Lisa.
Oh, shit. Okay. I love you, honey.
Next.
Next topic. Moving along.
Actually, back on topic. What are you doing? Okay. What were you playing this week?
What am I playing this week? Rock Band. Have you heard of that one?
I don't think I've heard of that one.
Dude, I'm so excited. I'm done with Medium.
Woohoo!
With Medium. I'm on the hard difficulty now, and I'm kicking its ass.
Nice.
Like, bring it on. I'm kind of cheating, because I'm just kind of picking and choosing my bass pedal notes. But I'm getting by. I'm passing. I'll get there.
Whatever gets you through.
As long as you get your 3 stars and they don't boo you off the stage, you're in good shape.
There's been a couple of very close calls.
You cannot get booed off the stage? Well, for me.
But what else have I been doing? Oh, still doing that PSU thing. With the new expansion. Chris, you'd be very proud of me. I beat the dragon last night by myself.
Solo!
Level 10.
Oh,
yep,
nice.
Solo. I know, I'm awesome. Aside from that, Mass Effect still, of course. Very much loving that game. Wait, you guys didn't know. I've never announced it on the podcast,
That's
have
right,
I?
You haven't. You've been playing Mass Effect. Surprise!
I have been playing Mass Effect. Surprise! Merry Christmas. Yeah. I definitely dig that game. I know how people... are bitching about it, or I understand why people are bitching about it, because it's not the best or most well-manufactured game in the world. There's some very serious flaws, but it's one of those games where you love it, or you're like, meh. But it's very hard to hate.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm one of those people that just absolutely love it.
It does too many things well to hate it.
Agreed. Aside from that, I've been playing just Street Fighter 2 Turbo. On Xbox Live Arcade, I'm boning up for, the HD remix coming out soon.
Oh, yeah.
I saw you playing that last night, and I was going to be like, okay, I was going to log on and be like, start a game and invite you. And then I totally forgot. You guys are all on your first Xbox 360, right?
Actually, yes, I am.
Technically my second, but...
Same here. Like, I'm technically on my second as well, but mine didn't red ring or anything. I just used my warranty at the end of it just so I'd have a new one just in case. And I just did that a couple weeks ago. And then when you buy Xbox Live games, when you transfer your hard drive over to the new system, those Xbox Live games you can no longer play online.
Well,
so that sucks.
What?
Yeah. What? If you transfer your... If you say get rid of... Because for some reason, I guess they mark or track each download to the actual system, not the hard drive. So when you transfer your hard drive over, and then it realized that, okay, it's been downloaded... but not to the system, so it still lets you play it offline, but you can't connect online.
Oh,
at least it was like that. They might have fixed that, because I know
They may have. I haven't had that problem. Yeah, because I know I downloaded Street Fighter with the first Xbox that I had, and I kept a hard drive, of course, and I just plopped that in the new one, and I didn't have any issues with getting online with it.
Okay. Really? I have to give that. I might give that a try again tonight because I know the ones. I know the games I downloaded a long time ago, like Doom and stuff like that. I can't play those online anymore for some reason. But then again,
why would you want to?
That's true. That's true. But hey.
All right.
We'll give it a shot.
I think I'm going to gut my my controller, my joystick, I'm sorry. The one that I got for Virtua Fighter.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to gut it and rewire it and make an actual decent joystick.
You don't like the the Ori one?
No.
Right?
No, it's terrible for 2D fighters. It's just not precise, the ball stick.
Yeah.
It's like spins around and it's really loose and just doesn't work for me. Weird. So, I need a little tighter. But, all right, aside from that, I'm playing Disgaea on the PSP, which is an awesome remake. Plays just like the original PS1, or PS2, I'm sorry. And that's going to occupy a vast majority of my time. In fact, I think I'm going to go play it now. All right, see you guys. Let me know when we're done.
Will do.
All right.
Jeff, how about you, man? What are you?
Have fun disguising.
Yeah, you suck. You're off the show.
Can't hear you.
Playing Disgaea.
You cast that magic missile.
Anybody have any Mountain Dew?
Yeah. Oh shit! What have I been playing? Quite a few things, I guess. I've been kind of getting ready for our Games of the Year edition, which will be coming up soon.
Sure, why not? Why the hell not? Everybody else does it. We might as well, too.
Exactly.
We want to be the cool kids, too.
That's right. We want to be just as cliche as everybody else.
Exactly. That's what people want to hear. And hey, maybe we'll have different games than the other guys, so who knows? We might be interesting. But on that note, I've been going back to other games like Bioshock and the usuals. I've been kind of wanting to just get like a kind of refreshed taste in my mouth, how they were and what I liked and didn't like about each one. And so I played a little bit of Bioshock for not that long, actually, maybe about 20 minutes or so, just to get the feel. Went back to, like I said, Heavenly Sword again. Even went back as far as God of War 2. And hasn't been too much, been playing too much. Spent a lot of time with, really. I beat Mass Effect. I completed it one round, and the timing for this game is all over the place. Some people say you can beat it. It takes 20 hours. Some people say 15. A friend of mine actually beat it in just over 7. Mind you, he didn't do any of the side quests, and he barely talked to anyone between missions. He basically went to the planet, did what he had to do. Exactly. And I told him that, and now he's going to replay it as another character. He's his own character again.
Good.
And go through it. Having it completed, it's definitely one of the best games, I don't want to say ever, of the year, for sure. The story finishes up really well. I love the ending. Talked to my friend who beat the game as well. Our endings were totally different, which is cool. And one thing, oh yeah, it's great. I've never replayed an RPG before in my life, and just yesterday I started up Mass Effect again, and I started up a brand new character. It gives you the option to use your old character at the same level, same equipment, and just kind of play it through again. But I decided to build I'm going to go through as a female shepherd this time, and different class and everything, and she's definitely hot. As hot as...
you got to stare at an ass for like hours on end. Yeah.
Might as well be something that's easy to look at. And people wonder why so many guys play female characters in games like WoW. It's like, all you're doing is staring at their ass the whole time. Might as well be something pretty.
Exactly. Use something to chase after. Like, literally.
Yeah.
So I'm starting that all over again and going to do everything different this time, see what happens. And, it took me 13 hours, I think, to complete it. And I didn't do too many of the side missions. I did quite a few of them towards the end. But I will warn both of you guys... Jay, I know you're playing it. If you're going to do side quests, try to do them kind of early in the game or before you complete the main four planets, because there is a part where basically it just kind of, okay, now you're in like the last stretch, you know, the home stretch. You're from here to the end. There's no going back.
Oh, really?
So, Yeah.
I was planning, I'd say the last couple hours.
I went to one of the main planets, you know, right after you leave, like, the Citadel or whatever, and I am being fucking meticulous right now. I am scouring every planet. I am talking to everybody I can. I am just trying to get as much out of this game as possible.
Yeah, that's...
So no worries, man.
Good decision. All right, awesome. That's what I like to hear. That's basically it, really. I tried to play Assassin's Creed, and like I said last week, it's kind of getting to that point of repetitiveness where I play for 10 minutes, I do one quest thing, and I'm like, okay, that's enough for now, and go to something else. It's pretty much a slow week besides some of the games. Oh, I went back to Orange Box, actually. And I want to... Yeah, I'm at this part of the... Sorry?
What are you playing on there? Because, you know, there's a few games on there.
I'm playing the end of Episode 1, which I find annoying as hell. Have you guys played through Episode 1?
I haven't yet.
I haven't played through completely. I suck.
Okay, there's a part of the end which is pretty tough, and basically it has you running back from point A to point B, back to point A, back to point B, and you're kind of escorting people back and forth, and it's kind of just annoying. I think it's kind of going on for a bit too long, and so I kind of was like, okay, it's enough about that, I'll get back to it later. Then I went back to Portal. I thought I was on the last level, apparently I'm not. I guess there's 19 stages, I was on the 18th, and by that time I was like, yeah, I have to go to bed. So I didn't do the 19th yet, but I will. I will. I want it. I'm dying to hear this end credits song that everyone's raving about and the whole ending in general. So
need to finish it. Didn't we talk about this on the first episode 4 weeks ago?
We did. I think we did too. Yeah. Yeah.
A few weeks ago, there was a post on Kotaku. The creator of the song was actually, he played in an acoustic version at some bar in Atlanta here. And I'm like,
oh,
damn
how
it.
How did we miss that?
I have no clue. I saw that on there. I'm like, I wept.
Oh, I'm pissed.
Cried. It was beautiful. It really was.
You could have went, bought a T-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Been fun.
Bought the CD. Damn it.
Actually, you know what I did play, actually? I busted out my DS, which I haven't busted out in a while, and I played Castlevania Portrait of Ruin.
Ooh.
And Castlevania games are awesome, and every single one since Symphony of the Night have been pretty much the same, where it's kind of like a Metroidvania, what's been nicknamed. The problem with those games is you go back to it months after and you have no clue what the hell you're doing.
That is true.
I was totally lost. I basically just went through areas I was already in, just like playing for a bit, and so I'm actually considering
starting over
the game over. But today I'm proud to say I'm a new owner of a slim PSP.
Woohoo!
So,
bravo.
Yeah, finally back into that club. I was in it a while ago, traded in because there wasn't really any games, and now there's tons of good games for the thing. So I'm like, yeah, now's the time to get it.
Whoa, hold up. Let's back up a second. I thought you said it broke.
No. My PSP never broke.
Oh, you traded it in, willingly.
I traded it in, yeah. Oh, yeah, so, yeah, willingly, yeah.
So we can't be friends anymore, I see.
I got the PSP pretty early, though. There's literally nothing. I had Wipeout. I had Luminous. Yeah. I had Grand Theft Auto.
No, I don't blame you. Yeah, for a long time, there was a huge shroud on really quality titles.
I agree with that. I mean, I got mine on launch day, which I don't know, was that March 2000, whoever, I don't know. And I bought five games on launch day. I got Wipeout, Darkstalkers, Ridge Racer, Untold Legends, and Luminous.
Oh, and, Untold.
Chris has disposable income.
Yes. No, I actually saved up quite a bit to get it all, but and then
oh,
there
know,
was like
this for a long time.
3-4 month drought, and I had you excited too.
Yeah. And it was my birthday. Damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
Happy birthday, Jay. I bought myself a PSP.
Sorry, I didn't buy you a PSP for your birthday.
Damn it.
Yeah, no. I remember the last straw was I bought a couple games. I bought Street Fighter Alpha 3 for it, and the remake of Mega Man? Yeah, the remake of Mega Man X, I think it was.
Okay.
And that was awesome.
That was good.
Maverick Hunter X. Yeah, I thought that was good too.
Yeah, that was it. Maverick Hunter X. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty cool. And Street Fighter Alpha 3 looked awesome, but the D-pad is such ass on that thing. I just couldn't throw a fireball or do a dragon punch to save my life.
Definitely
and at that point, I'm like, my friends are playing Mario Kart and DS and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'd have more fun with the DS. So that's when I got my DS. But hey, now I got both again. So hey. And I'm liking it. It's really light, really sleek, really cool. And I bought, which is really what I was talking about, I bought Castlevania for it based on both your recommendations and some other people.
That is a good choice.
And do listen to us. Wow.
That is a good choice.
I do. Don't brush aside all your opinions.
Not all of them.
Not all. There's the odd one here and there.
Just the ones about PSU. That's all.
Yeah, I like PSO. And we got some other PSU news actually coming up soon that I'm actually very excited for if something is added to it, but we'll get to that later.
News.
So, Chris, how about you, man?
I've actually played quite a bit this week. Of course, I played Rock Band. How could you go a week without playing Rock Band if you own it, right?
I
got my replacement pieces in, got my guitar and my bass pedal. The guitar is working pretty good. I still think there's something going on with a consecutive down strum. I don't know what that's about, but I'm hearing that the guitar was actually made so that you can use a pick on it and you can do up strum, down strum. And I plugged up the bass pedal and the bass pedal still doesn't work. It's got to be the connection inside the actual drum set itself. So I'm gonna call them about that and hopefully get that figured out.
That was pretty quick, though. They got back to you pretty fast.
Oh, yeah. I got it. I actually got it Monday. So okay. I ordered it Thursday or Wednesday and got it Monday. And I still need to ship back the other stuff. I got it sitting on my counter over here. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. I beat Uncharted.
Okay.
I still cannot say enough good stuff about this game. It's just absolutely fantastic.
All right. Question of my moment.
Okay.
Are you going to go back and replay it?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, Jay.
Why?
Yep. Justification. Go.
Okay. Because, first of all, I had more fun with this game than I have had in a very, very long time playing a game. Okay. Number two is because... I'm meticulous, just like you said, and there's probably 24 treasures that I didn't get, so I want to go back and get them.
Good deal.
And then,
if you weren't like a collector whore kind of thing, is it worth going back twice?
I think you didn't give a shit
whether or not you got all the treasures or not, or.
I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. I mean, it's really been a long time since I played a game through and immediately wanted to pick it up again.
And how long was it?
I think I beat it in about 10, 11 hours, something like that.
That's a good, I like that. That length is perfect for like replays.
Yeah.
Games like that are about that long. I tend to at least try to replay them. Don't necessarily do
especially
it all the time.
Especially for slack asses like me, I can't spend 40 hours a week playing a game. You know, I can afford an hour or two, maybe a day. So
I am really scared to pick up FF12 because I just don't have that much time to dedicate to gaming. So
don't worry about it. Once you get to forget it. License forward, yeah.
Oh, no, rat hole, we're not going to do that. I tell you what, one day we can dedicate an entire podcast to the license board
to
and how much everybody fucking hates it.
I'll be playing Disgaea. I'll see
exactly.
You
yeah, I'll All see right. you later. So after I beat Uncharted, first I need to correct something I said last week. Because I said that I thought there were 18 chapters and there's 22.
Oh, okay.
So, Uncharted has 22 chapters. I apologize for any mix-up in the last episode.
I'm glad we have that cleared up.
Yes, I'm sure everyone was hanging on a thread about it.
Yeah, the hate mail was rolling in.
I'm telling you, I got so many emails about that. No, I really didn't get any.
All the hate mail comes to me, so I'd have to relay it to you. I just have it because it's all hurtful shit, and the amount of mess that's being spoken about you lately, Chris, and this whole 18 chapters thing, yeah, not pretty, man.
Damn it. I'm sorry.
You're fired.
It's for your own good,
man. I know. So after I beat Uncharted, I picked up Folklore again. I still love this game, but I still don't appreciate the fact that I have to go through the whole damn game with both characters. But I did get Keats caught up with Ellen. They are both on Chapter 5 now, and I am currently playing through Chapter 5 with Ellen. And Chapter 5 is freaky. It's like Hell Realm or something, and it's freaky. Game's still fun. Played some more Pain. I did figure out what was going on with that Super Ooch last week, and I posted it on the site. But in case someone didn't read it, it was because my controller was set to port 3 when I went into the game,
Damn, you rock band.
Yeah, because my rock band instruments were still plugged in. So I unplugged my instruments, I quit the game, I restarted the game, and all of a sudden the Super Ooch worked like a charm. Yeah. The game is hilarious. I keep going back to this one time I was playing, and I was playing for score, and I shot him out of the slingshot, ran into the, like, this guy that's doing construction, and then fell down to the street, grabbed the old lady, fell down the stairs, and all of a sudden I just hear explosions going off. And, you know, my score is sitting around 800,000 or something like that. And while you know, I'm at 800,000, I'm in the subway going from one explosive box to the next trying to build up my multiplier. And all of a sudden I hear, like, three or four more explosions, and my score is at 2.5 million. And I'm like, how the hell did that happen? So they have a camera view from overhead.
Yep.
So And even though you're underneath in the subway, you can click on the button and it'll show you the city. And I mean, just shit was blowing up all over the place. it was awesome. The only thing I'm gonna say about Pain, I definitely suggest it, but it's only one stage. You only get the city. And they said they're going to release more stages for download. And yeah, if I have to pay for those stages, fuck them. Oh, I'm not doing that. They need to be free. I should have been able to download this game with at least three stages in it from the start. So we better get some free content out of them for this one.
Now, can you change where you're launching yourself from, or is it kind of like one set position? So you're basically shooting off from the same spot every time?
From what I can tell right now, yes, that is what it is. But there's different, like it's not just shooting for score. There's right. like different things that you can do. There's a mime toss. So your guy is in the slingshot and like just hanging in the middle of the air is a mime. And you shoot out of the slingshot and you grab the mime, flip around and toss him and just break as many glass panes as you can with him. It's like mime bowling. It's pretty fun.
I thought that was pretty cool because it wasn't just ragdoll. I tried it out too. I like that you were able to grab onto stuff and kind of swing around. Like you could jump through the air or get shot through the air and grab like an exploding box or something and then throw it halfway through at something. It was really neat. Yeah. What else was I going to say about that game? I hated it at first. I'm like, this is stupid. This is really retarded. And then, 2 hours later, and I'm still playing it and going, God, this is stupid. And I'm like, whoa, it's a great time waster. I think the most fun thing I did, though, is in that stage, they've got that doctor putting on the rubber glove.
Oh, right, the proctologist.
And I kept shooting myself at it, and I made him give me the middle finger. I'm like, that's the most juvenile thing I've done all day, and it's awesome.
Oh, it gets worse. I did something worse.
Really?
Did you notice that the hotel is the hotel from Revenge of the Nerds?
No. Is it?
Hotel, what was it? Coral Essence or something like this? Something like that? I don't remember.
What?
But you can shoot your guy at the letters and make it say hot oral sex.
Oh, shit. There goes this guy. I'm done with that now.
Now he's going to go play some Pain. But yeah, I thought that was pretty juvenile, if that's the word we're using.
Yeah.
But that's it for PS3. 360, I did pick up Mass Effect finally.
Yeah. Atta boy.
Yeah.
And you guys have already talked about it, so I'm not going to talk about it very much, but I will say that...
Oh, we could keep talking if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm pretty sure everybody's heard everything about Mass Effect.
I could talk about Mass Effect forever. But I'm at the point where if I talk about it, I want to let go spoilers, so I'm going to wait till both of you guys complete the game. Then maybe in our Game of the Year edition we can go into it with more detail. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I'm only like 3 or 4 hours into it, like probably more like three. So I'm still in the Citadel, so I'm still not having a lot of fun with the game. But everyone's telling me that after you become a Spectre and you get to go to the different planets, it starts to pick up speed. And so that's what I'm hoping for.
At least it's more action-oriented.
Yeah, that's true. I tell you what, the one mission that they throw you on where you're actually getting to go into combat, I had a lot of fun with that. They try to show you the whole cover thing, and I mean, it might be just because I'm moving from Uncharted to this, but the cover system it sucks.
It's just like Gra. It's just like a Gra, and I don't like the Gra cover system at all.
I didn't play Craw, but I mean, compared to something like compared to Uncharted, which is what I just finished playing, it just sucks. Yeah. It really does.
Yeah.
But the game itself, I mean, I loved the combat. It was so much fun. And the one thing that really confused the hell out of me is when I broke out the sniper rifle, and I was like, my God, this guy is drunk. I mean, he's just aiming it all over the place. I'm like, Jesus, how am I supposed to shoot someone like this?
Yeah, they don't have that whole breath thing that most shooters do, which helps a lot.
The other thing I've been playing on 360 is, of course, Phantasy Star Universe, thanks to Jason.
I had nothing to do with that. I was like, dude, I got this game. I'm playing it. And then all of a sudden, you're like, damn it, Jason.
You guys think the dark side. For a while?
What's that?
Do you guys think you'll be playing this game for a while?
Well, that's actually
I'm willing to give it a chance.
Really?
But I want to make sure I have people to play with you.
Oh, I'll be on for a while. I mean, I actually played today with Jared from the PlayStation Nation podcast. He jumped on, and we went through a couple missions just really quick. I mean, right before I jumped on to record today, and we went and fought the dragon. You know, I've created my character on like Wednesday, I think, or Tuesday, and he's level 12 now. He's still a level 1 ranger, and ranger is by far my least favorite class, so I'm trying to get rid of that as fast as possible. But I mean, I'm having a blast with it. I mean, it feels more like PSO now, especially because they added like they changed the way that you fight around to the point where instead of just mashing buttons like crazy, if you actually time your strikes, you'll get attack bonuses on the strike.
Okay.
And you know how in PSO, I know you played PSO, you know how in PSO you had the light attack and you had the heavy attack?
Yep.
Well, it kind of makes it so that it even makes the same sound. It's kind of like you're doing a light attack and then heavy attacks. You just got to time it right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that's kinda cool. They added a counter attack too, which I still have yet to successfully pull off.
Yeah, same here.
But yeah, I mean, there's the game has everything's unlocked now, so there's a ton of stuff to do. And it's just it's refreshing to be able to walk into this game and say, like, hey, look at all this crap, you know. And then they increase the amount of experience points you got, but you get by like a third. So it's like I remember the dragon when I was playing on PS2 and PC. The dragon used to give 660 experience points. Now it gives 880. Mm-hmm. So they've bumped that. They bumped the amount of Meseta you get from drops, and you know, it's a lot easier to pick up stuff. I'm level 12, and I have I'm already carrying around 2 B rank pistols. So
they still have this same shitty crafting system, though. Be warned.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do any crafting. I'm just going to feed all kinds of crap to my PM and let it. You know, I'll get it up to level 80 and let it run
evolve
around
into a creepy little girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, actually, I heard that there's going to be an update to make it so that you can have male PMs.
Even creepier.
Now,
yes.
The PM is kind of like a sub-in for the mags. What were they called? Mags, yeah.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. They're more like an NPC. That's pretty much what they are. But they're, like, hella powerful NPCs. It's like when you're... when you finally get your PM to like PM level 80, then they turn into an NPC, and they are 10 levels above you when you're playing. So they're ultra powerful, and they, you know, you can go different routes with your PM, and you can make them, so it's like if you different ones have different abilities, and then, you know, they're all casts, so they actually get access to the
SUVs and stuff.
SUVs, thank you. I couldn't remember the name of it, but the giant guns that appear out of the air. but yeah, I'm having fun with it. I'm glad I picked it up again. It was.
And they still charge for it, right? Is it still a monthly fee?
It's still a monthly fee. And all right, I'm gonna throw out some Microsoft hate.
Here we go.
I bought the expansion, and
okay,
I had to buy points, and you can only buy points in a quantity of 2,000. You know, I only need 1,600. Why do I want 2,000? I don't need that 400 extra points.
Yeah.
You know, it's just annoying. And, I mean, that's the one thing. I know you guys are, you know, you down on PSN a lot, but at least PSN is like, hey, this is $9.99. All right, well, let's put $9.99 in my wallet, and I'm going to use it right now. So Now I have 400 points, and there's not anything on Xbox Live for 400 points that I want that I know of. So,
buy some themes or a gamer picture.
Yeah, oh, yes! I'll go pay for some stupid pictures that I can
wait. No, you can buy music videos from BMG Music Group.
Oh, really? There like the go. Ones that I can go
for
find
like
on YouTube.
$2 a piece. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Rip-off.
I'm telling you. Well, how much is the new Asteroids remix that just came out?
Oh, God, I have no clue. I didn't even look. I like the remake of Pac-Man. It was awesome. Pac-Man Champion Edition was pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I'm going to get that one eventually.
Heard someday. Asteroids, not so much.
When they drop it up there for $5, I'll use the 400 points on that. There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
But you still have to buy more to... Sorry.
No, if they drop it... Well, you know how they're doing like the with the new... the new dashboard update, they're doing the whole arcade hits thing.
Yeah.
They're putting some games up there for cheaper. So if they happen to put, you know, Pac-Man Championship up there for $5, I'll go buy it.
Okay.
But yeah. Besides that, PSP, I've been playing more Castlevania. And I picked up Brave Story for PSP, which is it's a turn-based RPG that I've been looking at for a while just because it looks so trying to think of the word that I want to use here. It's quirky.
Goofy.
Yeah, it is. It's goofy because it's like when you attack an enemy, you see like the big old style Batman words that go kapow and
bam!
Stuff like that. It's so it's pretty interesting that way. So far I'm liking it. I like the fact that the battles are so fast. I mean, you start a battle and it's over like in no time. I don't have to sit here and wait for like 15 different battle animations to go off. It's like, you know, the creatures come out to you and they hit you, and then they roll back, and that's it.
It's about as long as the loading, but before every fight.
I was going to say, is there a loading before the fight?
I didn't. It's not enough to bother me. I didn't really notice a large amount.
Like Jay said, does the loading last longer than the actual battles do?
I haven't noticed, so I would say no. I haven't noticed.
I'm exaggerating, of course, but
yeah.
That certainly is a plague of. Of a lot of RPGs on the PSP.
Yeah.
I think.
I love RPGs on handhelds, but the problem is, if there's too much loading time, it could be a killer for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Moving along, rat hole.
Well, this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
that's it.
I haven't. That's big thing's been Phantasy Star Universe and Mass Effect for me.
Cool.
Good choices.
Yeah. So, what's Move up in news?
Okay. Kind of a busy week considering the time of year. The first one, you know how everyone hates that EA company, how, you know, they're taking over the planet. You know,
no, that's Microsoft.
Buying up everyone.
Oh, sorry.
Well, besides Microsoft.
And
EA, you know. But I think EA might have a big competitor coming in here, Activision. And Vivendi just actually decided to merge. And for those who don't know, Vivendi also owns Blizzard, which in turn is World of Warcraft, StarCraft, all that kind of good stuff. And Activision has games, you know, they have all the games like Call of Duty, Spider-Man series, Guitar Hero, Tony Hawk.
Yeah, I can't wait to start skateboarding and wow, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that would be quite awesome.
Well, they already put a Toyota truck in there, you know. Oh, wait, no, that was just a commercial. Never mind.
But yeah, the merger actually is supposed to be worth $18.9 billion, and it's to be completed by mid-2008.
Good God.
Billion dollars.
I'm still surprised that Blizzard would even... I don't think they need to do anything like
that's
this.
That's what shocked me. That was the biggest surprise.
Yeah, same here. I don't understand why they would do this. I mean, with how many users are they boasting that they have on WoW now? Like 7 million?
No, closer to 9, I think. Now.
I think it's like
is it really?
Active
God. Games,
yeah. And that's exactly. They're like WoW is a license to print money, and they can just come out with like little expansion after little expansion, and people are going to keep their subscriptions up there. Going to get new users all the time. And
look at the card game too. They got the collectible card game going, and that's pretty huge too.
And World's going to explode, especially in like Korea when StarCraft II is released. It's just going to
God. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
It's going to be humongous.
I don't see why they did this. There must have been something really good in it for them that we don't know
about. Yeah, a lot, because Activision definitely scored on that one. I'm sure
Somebody's blowing somebody.
That's right.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. But again, like, it's not like they bought them out. It's a merger, more or less. But still, that them together, they're now officially on paper the biggest video game publisher developer basically on the planet.
Wow. Suck it, so, EA.
Yeah, so EA, start to pick up your game and get some good games out there.
Well, they do have Burnout coming soon.
That Burnout, yes, they do have Burnout. They have a few. But then again, Army of Two is going to be set back because apparently it sucked balls.
Sucks.
Hey, anyway, competition's good. Good competition's even better. So you spoke about the Rock Band replacements earlier. So there was a rumor going around there's a free Electronic Arts game with any or mystery game for all the delays. And you said, Chris, that this was not true.
Well, I didn't get it. I didn't get a game. So I don't know. We'll find out because as I said,
it was just for like botched replacements or like delays in shipping or something like that.
That might be.
There were only a handful of people that got.
It's it said for delays. Basically, it's saying here for delays of shipping. But I mean, how many delays do they expect to have? This could be a cop out kind of thing, being like, "Is what you will get." But Chris, you got your stuff back really quick.
Yeah,
so.
I did. But now I have to call them again because I got to send the drum kit back. So
exactly.
We'll see what happens.
That, you know what? Just demand a game either way.
Give me no, because then I'll end up
give
with
me the beta
like,
version of Armia 2. Hook me up.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I'll tell them to send me Burnout. That's probably the only game in the near future by EA I want, because they'll probably end up sending me like NBA Live. It's like, oh yay, I'll trade it in EB or something.
Well, you don't really need the game. You don't have to wait too long for Burnout, as there is a demo actually coming out next week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So you guys can all download that. I definitely know it's on PSN. Is that coming out on Xbox Live as well?
Yes.
I believe it is.
But it's only for gold members for a week.
It is. It is only for gold members, because in other news here, gold members have nothing to frown about, but all you... I really can't speak when I'm doing the news lately. You guys realize that? I'm jumbling on my words.
I didn't either until you said something, so... Now we're going to criticize you for the rest of the time that you're doing news.
It's okay. It's deserving. Silver members now are now going to have to wait for some of the things they were getting for free and at the same time as gold members. Mm-hmm. Basically, this is not done to annoy our silver members, said Major Nelson. He's the director of Xbox Live. He does all the blogging and basically releases all the news in relation. Yeah. It's just saying limited time exclusives, access to content, is more of one of the many benefits of having gold Xbox Live account.
Whatever.
So what he's basically saying is, yes, we're doing this. We don't want to annoy our silver members, but we're going to. I mean,
that's
they're taking
right.
away – it's one thing to take away something that they weren't getting in the first place or to say, but silver members always had it.
It's one thing to give gold something new.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
something or, else to take something away from silver.
You're a man of words.
I have gold, so it doesn't affect me any, but I still say fuck you, Microsoft, because that's a bunch of bullshit, and they never should have done it. Now, if they really wanted to make it look like they were giving gold something extra, then they would do this only for demos and stuff that were not coming out on PSN, because PSN, it's coming out on PSN at the same time it's coming out on Xbox Live, and with a free PSN account, I can go and get it. But with a free Xbox Live account, I can't. I have to wait a week. Oh. I'm sorry.
Excellent point, Chris.
And
people might be
sitting
there, oh, it's only 1 week, not a big deal. But for something like that, it is a big deal. I mean, and the same way, look, okay, I'm paying $50 more to get something a week early, $50 a year. I mean, that's just that I think they're trying to show that, okay, here $50 a year is worth. I think it's worth it personally, but they're trying to add value to it when it's really not that big of a deal in the first place. You know?
Ooh,
but hey, how about you throw some dedicated servers on there, Microsoft? That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Ooh.
That'd be a good idea. So yeah, all you silver members out there, and I would like to see how many silver members there are compared to gold.
I would think there's a lot more silver members actually.
Well, when you think about it, though, people who have silver probably aren't into online gaming. Period.
Exactly.
Because
there's still more people
out
there that play just single player by themselves than there are online gamers.
Yeah. I don't know. I figure those would be less people to be inclined to get pissed off over something like this, especially if they don't... never mind. It depends on the gamer, I guess. If you're kind of like... Some of them might not care. I'd be like, oh, I have to wait a week. No big deal. Because it's not like a... I don't know. It's not like an online game where you have to get on there right away to actually kind of stay good at a game or kind of get the real... Like, the whole experience as soon as everyone else does so you don't feel like you're missing out on something. But overall, yeah, it's a bullshit move, I think.
Agreed.
Yeah. Anyway.
I've had my rant about that. We can move on.
Okay. Well, maybe there's another rant we can open up all over again. Actually, I don't think we've done on this podcast, but I know we've had this discussion many times is, well, Smash Brothers Brawl, Nintendo's actually released the outlines to their friends list details. So basically, they're trying to make it sound like they've improved the system greatly. No, not so much. Basically, what they're doing is you still have your friends code, your 3,000 alphanumeric code that you have to throw in for every game. But the difference is now it's on a separate list dedicated, I guess, to Smash Brothers only. But once you put it in once, it stays in there forever. You don't have to keep entering it, and it's not like a... It's kind of like a friends list, sub-friends list inside of Smash Brothers, which I guess it is kind of a step up, but you still have to get that separate friend code from all your Wii friends.
Yeah, why separate it? I don't get it.
All right,
I don't get it either.
I'm going to vent again. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Okay, have you guys played Super Mario Galaxy? I know, Jason, you've played a bit of it. Super Mario Galaxy.
I have not touched it yet, no.
All right, well, I'm going to give you a little mini spoiler really quick, just to prove a point. Super Mario Galaxy can send you messages on your Wii. The game can send you messages.
Okay.
Why is it that the game cannot pull your address book? I don't see why this is an issue. It should be able to pull all the codes that you put into your address book and just say, here's your friends. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this is an issue.
I don't think it's an issue with hardware, obviously. I think because Reggie's been on record, another rep from Nintendo, basically said they want to protect kids from child predators. So,
and that's fine. If you put your
Your own friends, like your friends, like you obviously got their Wii code from once. Why can't it just transfer it over?
Yeah,
I know it's get with it. Like if they want to be serious about their online, they really have to change that. And the same with the DS. The DS is the exact same way. It's annoying as hell.
Agreed.
More online, Capcom's actually going to start to drop online support for some of their PS2 titles after 2007. I guess. Yeah, see you later. Some of the games, of course, are Monster Hunter. And you know what? My screen just blacked out. That's awesome. But yeah,
Resident Evil Outbreak as well as Monster Hunter now offline after 07.
Yeah. Yeah, do you guys care about that? I don't know. Do you guys play those games?
I don't play Monster Hunter anymore. I did.
Yeah. I'm sad to see him go. Outbreak, not so much. That could have been gone a long time ago. But
yeah.
I think there's still kind of a following for Monster Hunter out there somewhere.
There's definitely still a following in Japan for Monster Hunter.
Right.
Oh, for sure. It's huge there.
And, you know, with Capcom, you know, screwing up and not making the PSP versions online.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole other story, though, so we'll keep going. Yeah.
I'm kind of, but I will salute them nonetheless.
Good job. Didn't,
Monster Hunter was out there for a pretty long time. I mean, that game came out in, what, like, 04?
Something like that.
It's been out there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, didn't Konami, they dropped the support for Metal Gear Solid online, too, didn't they?
Did they?
A while back. I'm pretty sure they did for Metal Gear Solid 3 online.
I honestly don't even know.
I guess if the juice isn't worth the squeeze, juice isn't worth the squeeze so much, then I guess they kind of have to do it. And I guess,
what the fuck did you just say?
The juice isn't worth the squeeze. They don't say that up there in the or down there in the U.S. of A.
Yeah, no.
Okay,
juice isn't
moving on. A really quick one here: that PS2 versus Knights that we were talking about last show. Planned for Japan only. Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to be coming to the States.
Fuck you, Sega. So,
yep.
Shake your fist.
I'm still thinking it's maybe possible if it does really well on the Wii, if the new Knights does really well. But don't
tell me. I mean, we've totally got, like, the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice, but I've never heard the squeezing juice and what?
Why are we revisiting this? I don't
understand. I can't help it.
If the juice isn't worth the squeeze. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, logically, it makes sense, yeah. Okay, all right, I'm satisfied. All right, okay. On with the news.
Where the hell was I?
Knights, okay. Japan only, screw you, Sega. Next.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm going to mod my PS2 if it doesn't come out.
Fuck off. one of the games of the year candidates, I'm sure by many people, BioShock, is going to have new downloadable content. It does have new downloadable content. One of them is a patch, actually, for the size of the screen. If you guys played BioShock, if you have a widescreen TV, what Irrational or 2K Boston did was they didn't actually have it in 16:9. Basically, it was 4:3, and they basically chopped off the top and the bottom. So you weren't actually seeing more of a screen. You're actually seeing less. So people caught on to this day one, basically, and started complaining and whatnot. And they got right on it, and this patch is actually basically fixes that issue. So now if you download this patch, you can go ahead and, you'll be able to see it in all of its widescreen glory.
But then,
I mean, that's absolutely free.
Some plasmids for free.
Hey. Well, I'm getting to that.
Yeah. Oh,
thank
I'm
you. I'm the news guy, damn it.
Damn it, I'm sorry.
Would you
I'm
like
so
to
sorry.
Say... Would you... but yes,
I have
plasmids,
one job, damn it.
It's my 10 minutes of fame.
Oh, my gosh. Why are we now quoting Galaxy Quest? Okay, next.
Okay, so yeah, there's also some plasmids available for download. And this is where I was going to say, guys, how much would you pay for some new plasmids for this game? How many? But Jay already ruined it.
They're free. Sorry. Okay.
They're free. So there you go. So not everything on Xbox Live costs money. Not every developer out there wants to give it to you right up the bunghole and be like, hey, give us money for what should be free.
This is a peace offering because they botched the whole,
It could be, but
business. I think so.
It could be, but Irrational's kind of like, they're kind of a good company. They've always been out there kind of supporting their stuff. They're a lot like Epic, I guess. And Epic only charged because they were forced to. So for Gears of War, mind you, that's those trying to get in there.
Okay.
Fair enough.
There's also a downloadable media, basically cartridge hitting the DSs in Japan. It's basically a little cartridge that fits an SD card. You can load it up with some media, music, movies, etc. This is news for Japanese users, but I'm not sure about you guys, but I already own one of these.
Third parties have been making them for a while now.
Yeah, they've been around forever.
I guess Nintendo wants a piece of that pie.
Why not? Why not cash in on it? If you're going to compare it to what you can get on the PSP, it's not even close. The quality's, I guess, decent for a DS screen, but it's... if you want to go for it, go for it.
I just hope I can get all my Hannah Montana episodes on there.
Well, that's the most... That is the most important thing.
Oh, my goodness. We're really stretching today.
I see shit like this at Toys R Us all the time.
And people wonder why the fuck our show is 2 hours long.
It's my fault. I'm sorry.
We're working on that, I promise.
Okay.
Can't tell, but we are.
So you guys will be very happy, so you don't have to move on after you're done with Phantasy Star Universe on your 360. Move it on over to the PSP. As Sega announced, it is coming to the PSP.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually very excited for this. Yep, what it's basically going to be is going to be a port of the game. They have a bunch. Basically, it's kind of a... Would you say it's a best of kind of thing of PSU?
It's actually... PSU has three storylines. Well, yeah, pretty much. Phantasy Star Universe, the original that came out, had a story mode. And then Online has a story mode. Has, story missions that you can go through. And the new expansion that just came out has another story mode. So, and they tack together like that. It goes PSU and then Online, and then right after that picks up the expansion. And from what I understand, all three of those are going to be on the PSP one.
I'm just grinning ear to ear. That's all I can do.
Yeah, I really like this idea.
I was going to say, you're probably going to say the exact same thing I was going to say. I was going to say the only thing that is kind of a bummer is there is no online play.
Currently. Sega, get on it. Get on it. Don't be another Monster Hunter.
There is a four-player ad hoc on it, which is kind of cool if you want to get four people together. But, I mean, the heart of PSO and PSU is definitely online.
Yep.
Looks like I'm going to be booting up Excellent Kai again.
All right. I'm trying to see if I want to skim over here. Did I miss anything? I know I have one more story out here to go. Actually, you know what? Actually, never mind.
What are you trying to say, Jeff? Come on.
I'm basically what I'm saying is we didn't really have the who gives a shit story this week because there really wasn't anything that was totally who gives a shitable. It was kind of
everything's
kind of
media hitting the DS in Japan.
Okay, that was pretty who gives a shit actually.
Come on.
I guess we kind of dropped the ball.
Who gives a shit?
All right, who gives a shit to that?
All right, who gives a shit? There we go. 1, 2, 3.
Who gives a shit?
We still need to work on that.
We butchered that one. Thank God for editing. Okay.
But we do
Instead, we do have a bullshit story of the week. This, I think, is hilarious, guys. we all know Jack Tretton of PS, all of his Sony glory.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
He's basically on record now saying that he admits that there's some missteps he had with the PS3, but the number one in his eyes was not getting enough launch systems out in that launch period.
Right.
Whatever.
Bullshit.
Yeah, Bullshit. Come on. The biggest problem was the price.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that.
It was totally price. And the fact that you were seeing systems in stores literally the second shipment after 2 weeks. And this argument still doesn't hold up because 360 never had enough to cover their launch either for a few months. And they're still outselling it on a regular monthly basis. So I don't know where he's – I guess he can't sit there and be like, yeah, you know what? I really don't know what's going on. And I mean, you know, I just – I can't – yeah, I got nothing, you know?
I still stick to my guns when I say that Phil Harrison is the only person who should ever say shit about Sony when it comes to the PlayStation brand.
Totally.
He is the only person who's fucking competent over there. That press – oh, God. He needs to say it, just be the spokesperson. I mean, Trenton just opens his mouth and inserts.
It's dumb shit comes out. It's just ridiculous. It's entertaining as hell.
There's more to this, though, right?
There's more. He also says, okay, he goes on after that, the whole thing about that. He also goes on to say that, to be honest with you, if they say that the first year of, how did I butcher this line? Anyway. He's basically saying that the first year of the platform is going perfectly according to plan. And then he goes on to say, yeah, the biggest miss for him was the missing the units, which if you're Sony, you go from number one having 100 million PS2s out there to PS3 selling, 70,000? This is when it was doing bad, 70,000 a month, maybe 60,000 a month. Would you guys be – would that be perfectly according to plan to you guys? It wouldn't be for me.
No, sir.
That's pretty far.
The ideal situation that I would hope for in a marketing perspective.
You know what? I like to see big mountains. I say I'm going to climb that mountain with my bare hand.
I love competing with the Game Boy Advance. That's just right up our alley.
Yep. Basically. And another thing he goes on to say is we all have our opinions on Sony, MS, and Nintendo. And I don't think it would be a far-fetched to say that Sony was a little bit arrogant before the launch of the PS3. Just a little bit. Maybe slightly after.
Yeah, just a little. Maybe.
Just
a little.
Some of the lines like, you know what, our system will sell even if there's no games for it on launch. And
people,
you know
people
what?
Will get a second job.
Exactly.
That was
second
my favorite.
Job.
People will get a second job to buy a PS3.
Come on.
Exactly. And I'm surprised he hasn't had to start looking for a second job after all the dumb shit he's actually said. But to him, he's calling it surprising. He thinks that the only people who might have thought they were a bit arrogant were bloggers and people on the internet, but the general public doesn't. He doesn't think that they believe Sony to be arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, total bullshit. Big time bullshit. And, I mean, basically it would be like, hey, you know what? Okay, Jack, seriously, dude. Like, okay, sit down. Here's a beer. Beer's on me. Let's see Nintendo up there. Yeah, see Reggie prancing up and down the stage talking about Wii Fit and how many units they sold and blah, blah, blah. If you had, like, one word to come to your mind about that right now, what would you think? And I'm pretty sure Jack would be like, yeah, it's arrogance. You know what? Yeah, that was fucking you guys 8 months ago.
Yep.
Deal with it. But they're going in the right way. Got to give them some credit, right? They're hanging in there.
They've been humbled quite a bit. So
I would hope so, yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it, is that they kind of have been humbled.
Well, when you go from
they're starting to take some really, really good steps, and they're careful about everything. And
when you go from number one, and I mean the closest to you is has sold less than half the number of units you have, to now selling less than half the number of units that the leading one is doing, they switched roles. I mean, it's got to be a humbling situation, and you know, I think they screwed up. They screwed up big time, and now they're paying for it.
Yeah, the first thing was getting that price down, and
that was they should. That. Yeah,
and they did now there's good. There's good exclusive games coming out, and it finally looks like it's a good idea to have a PS3.
I agree
exactly. Just a year late, but that's why I said like this is the probably most important holiday for Sony for PS3 anyway.
I will say this: I didn't have a 360 the first year it came out either, because
there wasn't
jack shit on it that I wanted. So
yeah,
it wasn't until Gears came out that I was like, oh, I think I'll get a PS3 now or a 360 now.
Yeah,
I was only in it for the Uno.
The Uno.
He wanted to play Uno online.
He just wanted to be creepy with your camera and get on there. And
you guys think I'm joking. That's seriously all that I wanted it for, was Uno online.
Are you serious?
Chris, back me up. I'm serious.
I know that he did say that. He goes, but it's got Uno. I'm like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me.
Wow.
But he wasn't.
Shit, you're not.
That was the first game he bought after he got a 362.
Damn right.
That's so right. Anticlimactic.
Yeah, sorry. That's all I got. All right.
All right, and that's all I got for news. And I am going to apologize. Okay. I wasn't that organized for this news thing. I'm just going to shut
excuses.
The hell up.
Excuses.
Jeff, you're fired. Okay, so we're gonna take a break, and we'll come back in a few. And after the break, we've got emails, question of the week, new releases, and what we think of the review, the game review industry. So stay tuned.
Oh,
for that.
I can't wait.
Gertz and Gates.
This week's episode of the Interactive Distractions Podcast is sponsored by PocketOtaku.com. Rock the chibi.
The following preview is rated PO for pretty f***ing awesome by the Miniopia Cinematography Board. Viewer discretion is advised. In a demon-haunted galaxy.
Who awakens me?
In a time of corruption and dreams. An acrobat hopes to solve the ultimate crime.
Pero qué te agarró, tío. Pero no ves que me aprietan. Que las corbatas no son para papadas saludables y carnosas como yo, hombre.
Translation?
I can't do it.
You will do it. You will be a beautiful mod, damn it. Now get out there and give me a front handspring into a baby giant, then do a half turn into a squat, hippie toeing over to burning rope, and then wolf jump into a full circle dismount.
Starring Unistrike as Rufus, the Great Tumbleini, an acrobat with nothing to lose.
Pero gente crees que eres, Aquaman?
And BWS1 as Kevin Nash, a.k.a. Boris Von Slapovich, a former world championship acrobatic trainer.
Striker, you're gonna get mightalized!
And introducing punk rock girl as the Disco Demon. Come back from the underworld to rob the world's pioki supply.
Burn, baby, burn. Disco Inferno. Oh, yeah. You can't match my moves, Tumbleini. Disco will never die.
Coming soon to downtown Miniopia's Mini-Cinny.
And welcome back. Glad you're still with us. We are fresh now. I got me some water.
So fresh and so clean, clean.
Everyone has probably heard about the big news with GameSpot firing one of their biggest reviewers. And, you know, there's rumors going around the internet that had to do with the review that he gave Kane and Lynch. He gave it a 6. And, I mean, I don't know how often you guys visit GameSpot, but Kane and Lynch has been advertised all over GameSpot.
It was plastered heavily, yeah.
It was like stink on a monkey.
It's had its own, like, theme that it took up the entire background of the site. Is very annoying, actually, but kind of got us thinking about the entire reviewing industry in general and how it just doesn't seem like, I mean, I just don't seem to trust big name sites anymore with reviews, because it's just they don't make any sense anymore.
No, credibility seems to be kind of going the way of the dodo, really.
Yeah, and the whole GameSpot thing in general, I mean,
it's bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. They've come forward and said, "Oh, you know, it wasn't because of Kane and Lynch, blah blah blah. You know, we would never do that and stuff like that."
Bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely. Bullshit.
I don't care if he was like sticking cigars in like interns or anything like that. I mean, granted, he may have, you know, been a, I don't know. I'm just saying, maybe he was a drunk or something, and he came in and he verbally abused people. I don't give a shit. What happened is that, you know, he gave a shitty review to a shitty game. And then all of a sudden, he's fired.
Right.
And they take the review off the site.
The funny thing is how... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done. I feel better now.
the thing is, they changed their story a couple of times. First was, okay, he didn't get fired because of the score he gave Kane and Lynch. They're saying it was the tone of the review and the video review that was put up. And then they come back and say it actually had nothing to do with the Kane and Lynch at all. It was kind of like a bunch of little things here and there, his reviews from the past, whatever.
Regardless.
GameSpot had a their podcast is actually The Hotspot, and I'm actually a frequent listener of it. And actually, Jeff Gerstmann, the person we're speaking of, he's actually probably one of my favorite reviewers in the entire industry, because he's not afraid to call it like he is. Like, he's the guy who gave Zelda Twilight Princess an 8.8 and had people up in flames, like, oh my god, you're going to hell for that. And
yeah,
I mean, because he literally called it out and said, you know what, it's a great game, but it is the same Zelda we've been seeing year after year.
Yeah, it's not perfect, and I don't think anybody, you know, any gamer that, you know, isn't a Nintendo fanboy will probably agree with you that, yes, Zelda is a great game, but it's not all that, you know? It's still Zelda 64, or Ocarina of Time. It's just in a different format. I mean, there's a lot of differences, and there's they threw in new items that you can use and stuff like that, but it's still basically the same thing.
You're still getting a boomerang. You're still getting bow and arrow. I mean,
exactly.
Same stuff.
You're starting off in these.
Hey,
like,
what happened to my magic wand that I got in Zelda 1? How come I don't have that anymore? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Free shit and stuff. And
that was my favorite weapon. Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, like, I used to love GameSpot for that reason, because a lot of people thought they were kind of harsh on games, because usually they were kind of lower in their reviews by, like, maybe a point and a bit. Except for Assassin's Creed, they gave Assassin's Creed actually one of the highest ratings out of all, which is surprising. But that's something that kind of gave them, I guess, automatically more credit. I can tell you I didn't really go to their site for the news and stuff like that. It's mostly for, like, the reviews and their podcasts or whatnot. Essentially, the guy was with the company for 10 years.
11, I thought.
Is it 11 years?
I think
10,
so.
10 or 11 years. And I'm not sure if it's bad timing or what, but like I said, they had this... Sorry, we got sidetracked there, but their last podcast, the entire first half was dedicated to the whole situation. And they basically made it, yeah, there's not too much we can talk about because, you know, all the legal reasons and whatnot. Like, for all we know, he might have gotten, say, like a severance package, and then they said, okay, listen, but you're under disclosure, you can't really say anything about what happened, which is understandable under the circumstances, I guess. But they basically said it was kind of bad timing, and how apparently the review that they pulled off, the video review of him, they were pulling off anyway, because apparently it was really bad quality, and they decided, actually, like, they put it up there, and they said, you know what, let's just take it down, it's crap, it's not up to what we usually do, the sound was terrible, whatnot, and,
it's
hard to say whether or not...
I watched it, and I didn't notice it being any worse than any of their others, you know, mm-hmm. it was, the quality was fine, I didn't see a problem with it.
Yeah, and that's probably true, but the thing is, they did stick up from there, like, they actually, apparently, they're all saying, like, life there is totally different the last, like, week and a half, that some of them can't sleep, because they're all, like, really good friends of them. Now they're all kind of, like, walking on eggshells kind of thing, like, oh god, if we say the wrong thing, or, like, and what's the next thing gonna happen?
Am I gonna get fired, right?
Yeah, exactly. Am I gonna be the next one to go if I say that, like, you know, there's gonna be, like, Halo Wars is gonna be ass or whatever, next thing you know, they're out of a job. But, yeah, it's so that, in that respect, it's kind of cool to see them, they're all, like, kind of backing them up, and they're like, yeah, they were saying it was total bullshit, but they're saying it wasn't just the Kane and Lynch thing, basically. But one thing that ticked me off about their podcast was they kept saying, you know what, keep coming back to GameSpot, like, we're still doing the same thing we usually do, we're still gonna stay, like, the same site we were, and we don't want you guys to, like, leave based on this. It's like, yeah, it sucks. And they said, basically, we do come to us because we're GameSpot, but CNET owns GameSpot, and they're the ones who, I guess, called, you know, they have the final say in everything. But, you know, they're getting the money, and us supporting GameSpot is supporting CNET. And if you don't stand for it, then what are we supposed to do?
Right.
Like, you know?
I don't know. I think the whole thing is... I mean, there was another article that I read that said that, you know, there was a lot of things that was happening to him, and the Kane and Lynch thing was the last straw, so to speak. And,
yeah.
You know, there should never... I mean, this type of thing should never be a last straw for anything. It's a review.
Yeah,
the guy is
exactly
reviewing a game. He's talking about it. He's being honest. I mean, so he said the game is shit. It probably is. I haven't played it, so I don't know. But you
it's
know,
averaging like 60-something on game rankings. I mean, he wasn't that far off.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, but I get to kind of play devil's advocate. That's the big problem, I think, that lies, especially in online reviewing, is where the revenue comes from. because 90% of the revenue comes from advertising on sites, right?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're one of those, like, if you have, like, a platinum kind of, like, subscription where you get access to guides or whatnot, you pay a little bit of extra money. But for the most part, they get their money from advertisers. And this is where it's kind of like a dual-edged sword, because people want to sit there and say, you know what, it's freedom of speech, it's journalism, it should be whatever they want to say. It's like, you know, you're reviewing a product, and people look at that review as a guideline or whatnot, if this product should be purchased by the consumers out there, and, you know, goes into detail. If it's something you like, get it. If not, stay away from it. And we can all respect that, and that's what we all want to see. But the problem is, with all the competing sites out there, you know, you got IGN, you have GameSpot, you have 1UP, how they fight for people besides having regulars join their site is basically get exclusives on games. Like, we have the exclusive review going to be up on this day before any other site. And again, they're funded by these advertisers. So, okay, it sucks that Jeff was fired for this, but what sucks is, say, Chris, you're working for, or Krista, you guys are working for, we'll go out there and say Ubisoft, and there's this game you guys are, like, putting together, and you know what, you're saying, okay, listen, GameSpot, we're going to give you guys the exclusive, we're going to hook you up with a bunch of advertising to put on your site, and then, you know, we're not going to tell you what score to give it, but we're going to do all this for you. What happens is more of like a domino effect where, say, this game gets a bad review. It's not as simple as, okay, this person gets fired, or, you know what, we're no longer advertising for you. What sucks is that developer can turn around and be like, you know what, they gave our game a shitty fucking review. Our next big game that could be good might not be. We're not even going to send them a copy for a review, because that happens. Some sites, like 1UP, didn't get a copy of NBA 2K8 because they gave NBA 2K7 not a great score, like a good enough score. They thought they never even got the game until release date. So what then happens is they're going to go to the competition, and then they're going to say, like, listen, we'll give you the exclusive review. And then something, you know what I mean? It's kind of like this kind of like black spot industry where they're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing.
Right.
I still don't think it's right. I mean, it's...
Oh, it's definitely not right.
They need to be being honest with the people that are reading their site. I mean, it's and this is the kind of shit that creates a double standard in a way of looking at it, because there are some games that are out there. I mean, I see this all the time. All right, I see it all the time, and you know, everyone that knows me knows that I am not a big first-person shooter fan, and the whole reason is because I don't feel like there's enough different from one to the next. You know,
yeah.
Most first-person shooters are pretty much the same. It's a very oversaturated genre, extremely. So when there's a game that comes out, for instance, Halo. I'm not trying to diss on Halo. I understand it's a good game, but what does it really do differently for the first-person shooter genre? Sure, it does cool stuff with multiplayer, but what does it do as a single-player game? What does it do different for the first-person shooter genre?
Well, that goes back to the first one. In terms of the first one, it did things hugely different than what was on consoles at the time.
Right, exactly. And the first one, I have no objection to saying that the first one deserved the reviews that it got. But what about the second one?
Basically turn multiplayer into the staple of what every first-person shooter has been trying to reach since then. They basically, at the time, perfected the multiplayer aspect of their game for consoles.
Okay. And the third one,
in terms of that, they just basically tweaked and twined, but then they introduced the whole Forge thing, where you're basically not designing your levels, but you're designing how the levels are played. You can make your own game types, so not just say, like, you're not just saying we're going to change the flags from here to here. You can actually make up entire game types. Like, a friend of mine made one that was kind of like a Night of the Living Dead kind of theme, and it was really cool, and you're kind of trapped in one area of the map, and you kind of break out before the zombies get in. Like, it was kind of that kind of thing, more like user activity. But, I mean, I can see more of your argument in terms of that not changing anything from 2 to 3, but 1 to 2, there's huge changes. And then
but
2 to 3,
it's all huge
players.
Changes in multiplayer.
True,
what about
single
what
player,
about the person
not so much.
That just only plays single player? I mean, in reality, the first-person genre is mostly the same. Yet all these first-person shooters keep getting these huge-ass scores. You know, all these, you know, it's like the first, when it comes to like an American developer, the first thing that you think of is like, oh, first-person shooter, great.
Yeah.
But when it comes to something like, all right, Uncharted.
Well, yeah.
Uncharted is, I mean, it's getting good scores, so I'm not going to complain about the scores.
Yes.
But it's a lot of people going back out there and saying, oh, it doesn't do anything new. It doesn't do anything new for the genre. It's like, well, so? It does what it does very well. So why are you docking points?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't do anything new. And I don't know. I just think it's. No, I just think it's.
I totally hear you, but in the ultra other, if you take a look at the other side of the spectrum, basically a game like Resistance, which did absolutely nothing for the first-person shooter genre, except for Insomniac took their creativity for weapons, threw it in a first-person shooter, and it got great reviews. It was like it's basically going along with what you're saying. Like it was nothing new whatsoever.
Right, but it's still got a great score.
Got nines. Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous.
That's not to say it's not to say it's not a great game, because it is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Why is it that Resistance would score higher than, say, Uncharted, because Resistance doesn't bring anything new to the table, but neither does Uncharted.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. And the one that I saw this the most on was, and I'm going to go back to it, was when PSU first came out. And people just thrashed PSU because it didn't bring anything new to the table. It's like, why do I want that? PSU is a sequel to PSO. Granted, at first, it wasn't up to snuff. I think now it's getting very close, but
it's getting closer. But it's still not a great game.
It's still not fantastic. No, but it's not a six. I mean, I would think it's better than a six.
Are there given reasons for why?
We've talked about this a few times. That it was compared a lot to WoW, and you're
which
extremely
is bullshit.
Valid in that point in that it just should not be compared to. A game like WoW, yes, they're both online, but they're completely different games.
Right. It should be, if anything, it should be compared to something more like Diablo.
Yeah. And I think a lot of those scores were, basing it off of that comparison between, the top MMO of the time. And that's definitely a double standard.
Yeah.
It's unfair, damn it.
It is.
It's not even just that. I think it's more or less because, in America here, in North America, was very shooter oriented. Like, that's basically what sells the most, basically, on any given console. And in Japan, it could be, RPGs. Like, why do games like Gundam and, all the variations of Naruto and stuff that they get score really well in Japan and get scored shit here? It could be a taste thing, too, right? Where it's just basically they're kind of, it's what they like, and, hey, if we don't like that type of game, it's not going to get a good score. But again, and like you said, Chris, a game like Uncharted, which does everything well, possibly should have got a higher. It's averaging almost in mid eights or something like that. Or
it's actually averaging 88 or 89 right now. But and as I said, it's not at all a bad score. But there are certain there's certain reviews out there, and GameSpot is one of them. GameSpot gave it an 8, but didn't really give a good reason to why it gave it an 8. It's its reasoning was because that one of the main things that they said. Okay, there were two things that they said that. Mainly that were bad, and one of them was that the actual firefights were frustratingly hard.
Okay.
And I beat the game. I totally disagree. I didn't have any problems. If you use the cover correctly, you will get through it easily. I don't think there was one firefight that I played more than two times. I think there was one that I played three times. Every other most of the other firefights, it was easy for me to breeze through, or maybe I had to play it twice. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And the other thing they said is that the platforming was too easy. And, I mean, this is what I wanted to, this is actually something I wanted to ask you. I mean, do you think the platforming was easy compared to Assassin's Creed?
No.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if they mentioned the platforming on the Assassin's Creed review, because I honestly didn't look at it, but...
No.
I mean, one of the things that gets me is, for instance, and that's why I'm going back to this double standard, because they said that the difficulty was frustrating.
Was frustrating.
I disagree. Yes. I disagree with that. But then they turned around and with, say, Gears of War, which I think was more difficult in, as far as the firefights go than Uncharted.
Yeah.
And they didn't – I mean, they said that the difficulty was all over the place, and then it still got a 9.6. So it's like – I'm not sure. I mean, was it because it was more hype? I mean, I have no idea what.
I think that has a lot to do with it.
You think so?
Most likely. Gears of War was hyped up the ass, right? It was the first true next-gen game, and I think everyone had these preconceived notions that this game was going to be nothing but a 9 or a 10. And it did deliver to some extent, but I mean, I'm not going to go there and say that there's been games released since then that have been better, that have scored worse.
Yeah.
Because it's true. I mean, from what I played on Uncharted, it does offer more. They're totally two different types of games, but in the same way, they're kind of the same mechanic. Just one's giving you more than the other, whereas one's adding platform,
right?
You know, platform segments and whatnot. But then again, then that goes back to like, okay, this bar has been set. It's not as like the wow factor's gone, which goes in the whole hype thing, and then it's kind of like, what can we build off this to make it better? And I don't know. I'm just kind of happy we don't review games, really, because it seems no matter what game gets what score, you're gonna get shit on by someone. It doesn't matter.
That's kind of the reason why we don't, though. I mean, that's why we just say, buy it, rent it, don't buy it.
I got one more little rant here. I get more pissed when there's an inconsistency with the technical problems with a game, where if like say let's take for instance Heavenly Sword. I really liked Heavenly Sword, and a lot of reviewers knocked it down basically saying stuff like, okay, the frame rate wasn't steady or there was clipping. Yeah, and then a game like, I'm not taking anything away from Mass Effect at all. I still think it's one of the best games. And if I were to recommend either Mass Effect, say, over or Heavenly Sword to somebody who wanted to buy one or the other, I'd probably be more inclined to go with Mass Effect just because I think it's a better overall package, I guess, in terms of your experience. But technical problems coming out the ass for Mass Effect.
Agreed.
And they mentioned them in the reviews, but it's not stopping from getting nines and tens and
bringing the score down much, I don't think.
Yeah, the average review is still in the 90s. It's still like 92 or something like that, you know?
Mass Effect is probably going to go down in like my top 5 games of all time. I love it an awful lot, but I'm not ashamed to admit that there are some serious technical issues. I don't think the scores that are out there right now are an accurate representation of the technical flaws. And this all just comes back to hype, you know. This has been so hyped for so long, and you know, there's TV specials, and it's just so much shit going on about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's affecting some people's judgment.
Oh, for sure. And when you have a game like that it's like that's hyped up for, like I said, the preconceived notion. Another thing that I think has a big effect, and I think it happens in terms of like everyday life, not even just video games, but when you have, say, a company like BioWare and like some kind of developer who has a good track record of putting out good games, I think it makes reviewers easier to overlook those flaws. And also, when you have, if you have 10 people telling you this game's awesome, this game's awesome, this game's awesome, you're going to go into playing that game being like, okay, it's going to be good, and you're going to try to make yourself believe it is good because you've heard so many good. Exactly. So you're not kind of looking at it from like a fresh start. Like, hey, that's like the whole thing. Like Dennis Dyack might be a bit of a nut job to some people, like what he says. But when he said that some games just shouldn't be shown in preview form, it should be wait till they're actually completed, that he might have been onto something, because that could solve a lot of this. But then, of course, the industry would be boring as hell, except for on release dates. So
I wanted to touch on the Mass Effect thing. I didn't want to sound hypocritical. I mean, I said that it was like in my top 5, but then I said it shouldn't have gotten a great score. This type of game is definitely a, I don't know, it's a personal flavor that I like. It appeals to me more than, you know, some other titles, and so it ranks personally more for me. But to tie that into the whole score thing, I don't think. If we're looking at, you know, reviews from like a technical standpoint, you know, we've got our very detailed, you know, 98%, 92%, you know, what exactly is that based on? You know, if we take that into consideration, if we're thinking that these reviewers are coming in completely objective and just looking from in an overall experience, you know, that they're going to look at a technical aspect, that they're going to look at you know, the sound design, that they're going to look at, you know, just various things in the AI or whatever. I don't remember where I was going with this, but our score based, you know, more technical, like a complete critique, or is it just how they personally feel?
See, I think it depends on the scoring situation. I've noticed kind of like a trend when any kind of magazine or TV show or anything rates a game from 1 to 5, it'll never get shit for giving a game a 5 out of 5. Never, because I guess everyone relates 1 to 5 like, hey, like 5 is like the must-have game, you need to buy this game. Whereas people look at a scale from 0 to 10, they relate it to obviously the biggest event on the face of the planet that has the same scoring system as like the Olympics, where your perfect is perfect. There's never going to be a perfect. But the Gears of War, Dan Shu from 1UP gave Gears of War 10, but when you read his review, did either of you guys read his review?
I didn't know.
He probably mentioned more negative things about the game than positive, and that's what got people in an uproar, because it was basically, okay, he gave the game a 10, but there's these problems with it. Why is this game getting a 10? And that's like question you guys, like what do you guys value as a perfect game? Like, to me personally, a perfect game doesn't, I don't take the technical issues into it at all. A perfect game to me is what a game is supposed to be. It's supposed to be fun, it's supposed to be entertaining, it's supposed to kind of keep you hooked, and no matter when you play it, it's going to give you that kind of enjoyment over and over again. And when certain games I play where I can go back months later and still have the same amount of fun with it, I would give that game like a 10 out of 10, a 5 out of 5, or whatnot, because in terms of like fun and how much you're enjoying it, it's just basically says, you know what, you need to play this game.
I it's hard to say. I mean, this is a really touchy subject, really. Is there such thing as a perfect game, or is there such thing as a 10? And I believe there is, but it really depends on the person that's looking at the game. Like, for instance, I'm going to say, I'm going to say it this way. If there's something that affects gameplay, then it definitely shouldn't be a 10. If there's something that you see often enough to the point where you notice it and it bothers you, then it shouldn't be the 10. And I say those two things because two of the biggest games out right now are getting lots and lots of 10s, but they fall into both of those categories. Mass Effect, whereas as I said, I haven't played it enough, but I can see the technical flaws. Even after only 3 hours, I can see them, and they annoy the crap out of me. They really do. I mean, it's like the every once in a while there'll be choppy movement when you're in a conversation with someone and stuff like that. I mean, that's annoying, and that should definitely not be rated a 10 because of that fact. I mean, I would not rate it a 10 because of that fact. And the other one I'm going to state is Mario Galaxy. Again, not to take anything away from the game. I've told you guys in past episodes that I love the game. I think it's absolutely incredible.
You beat it in like 2 days.
I got 120 stars in less than a week. I mean, I was extremely addicted. But the camera in this game affects the gameplay. I mean, it makes it so that all of a sudden you're running and you die. I mean, that's a flaw. And I wouldn't be able to give a 10 to a game that had a flaw like that, personally.
Okay, so you more or less look at the 10 scale as being like the Olympic scale of 10 is a perfect in like basically any kind of way.
No, so, because okay. I am not going to tell you that Uncharted is a 10 because it's not. But there is the obvious technical flaw of screen tearing in Uncharted. However, it did not get to me. It didn't annoy me of any type, so I would not discount that game for that technical flaw. Because it doesn't bother me. I mean, I only noticed it in like the first like two chapters. After that, I was so enthralled with the game, it didn't even matter anymore.
Would you give any one of those three games a 5 out of 5?
Are 0.5s allowed?
No.
if the answer to that question is no, then yes.
You're watching X-Play, and you know X-Play is 5 out of 5. Basically, it. They say Adam Sussex is like, we give this game a 5 out of 5. Are you screaming at your TV? Or?
Out of 5.
I would say on a 5 scale, then yes, they would probably get 5s. But on a 10 scale, where you're also going in between, no, I don't think any of those games are 10s.
Yeah. No, I'd have to pretty much agree. Like, there's only a few games that would actually give 10, but then again, like I said, I base my 10s on basically replayability, how much fun I have with it. I don't care if a game is technically skewed to the fact that it's annoying, but the gameplay is still... The gameplay is, like, the number one thing in everything. Like,
I agree.
You know, if something's still fun, like, I can still go back and play Super Mario Bros. For the NES, and it's still fun. Looks like crap compared to these days, but it's still, you know, it's a lot of fun. And I think that game would be a 10. Hey, just... Or a 5.
And, okay, this kind of, sort of relates, but it doesn't really... But I have to throw it in because it's something that bugs the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. And it's something that GameSpot does. Why the hell is GameSpot reviewing games that are coming out on the virtual console? Can I know this?
They are reviewing
games coming out on the virtual console. It's like, okay, you're giving a 5 to this game that came out, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Why? I mean, just
IGN doesn't say. Well, IGN, I know they definitely rate Xbox Live games too, and I've noticed too that they're kind of getting lower scores. But sorry, finish your thought before I go into mine. I'm pretty sure we're probably thinking the same thing here, but
we probably are. And what I'm going to say is that I actually like the way that 1UP does it, because 1UP will go through like all the downloadable games and they'll give it either a worth it or a not worth it. It's either thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah,
and I think that's the way it should be. These are old games. You shouldn't be reviewing them on today's standards by any means. And, you know, on some of the games, they're like, oh, it doesn't hold up. Well, it's not supposed to hold up. The game's from 20 years ago. What the hell do you want?
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of disagree there, too, because some games don't hold up to the fact that they're fucking ass now. Because back in the day, you had games that weren't hard because they were designed to be hard. They're hard because the gameplay was fucking flawed, but you can only afford to have one game every 6 months, so you play the shit out of it until you knew it, like the back of your hand, and beat
Ninja
it.
Turtles.
You go, like Ninja Turtles. So that game coming back in like the virtual console, you're going to be like, oh, I had so much fun with this, because you made yourself believe you were having fun with this back when you were a kid. But a game like Mario, or like the first Mario Kart in Super Nintendo, or it's like games like that, they are always fun no matter when you pick them up, because that gameplay is there. And those games, I think, are the ones that are worth a 10 or a 9, even in today's. Like, if they were to, like, you know, re-release them and have like them rated, yeah. But some games, like Double Dragon, was the arcade game, was the game that really got me into gaming. Like, I played consoles way before that, but that was a game that made me like, holy shit, this is pretty cool. And I loved it, and then I downloaded it on Xbox Live, and I was like, oh, this game is fucking terrible. It's balls. And so I think they're I don't know if they're giving some games a 5. It depends what it is, right? But
well, I still think that the number review system is flawed in general, and especially for things like downloadable and like old school downloads. I mean, it should be just, you know, worth it, not worth it. I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, sure.
I just don't understand where they're coming from with a score based review. You know, I don't know what they're judging it on exactly. You know, they can give a brief overview of, you know, what they'd liked and what they didn't like, but I don't know what's making them affect their scores, really.
And what the hell is the difference between an 8.2 and an 8.4?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't get it. I guess I prefer more, I don't know. This is why I'm going to miss Gertzman, okay? I didn't personally like his reviews so much, but he told it how he saw it.
Yeah.
And I look for that in a reviewer. I really don't give a shit what they score a game, but I'm going to end up finding someone
relate.
Yes, right? Like that I can relate to. Mm-hmm. And I will take their word over anybody else's, typically.
I do the same thing, and sure, Chris does too, but the thing is, most people out there don't do that. A lot of people probably just look at the score and base it right on that. They don't even bother reading the review.
Right.
And some must have been say, you know what, forget about scores. Just forget about scores altogether. Just write a review and then base it on that. But people just like to see like something tangible. Be like, what is this worth on a scale? What, you know what I mean?
True.
Like,
we're never going to get away from that.
But
and that
simply
kind of brings
down, like,
full circle too, because now we have advertising thrown in the mix, and we have advertisers affecting the editorial decisions.
Yeah.
Right. And I know that they're, you know, vehemently denying such a thing, but I think it's pretty obvious.
Well, what pissed me off, again, like going full circle before we go totally full circle and start going around again, is what really pissed me off about the whole Jeff Gerstmann thing is not a lot of people are being like, oh, fuck that GameStop place. I'm not going to go there because it lost all credibility for me, and they're just getting paid for the reviews, blah, blah. I'm like, do you guys not realize what happened? This guy apparently got fired for not taking the bribes, for not giving them the score they want to give him. He got fired for apparently giving a score that he thought the game deserved. And I think there's kind of like this mixed message getting out there, like, you know, what do you do? Like, he did what everyone says what reviewers should do.
Yeah.
These are the people that are on the hating side of Jeff Gerstmann, saying, yeah, you know, like, God, he's gone. He's whatever, obviously taking bribes. Like, obviously not. He lost his job because of it, for doing what everyone believes and what he should do. But, yeah.
No, I don't want to beat this. I don't want to beat the dead horse with this stick anymore.
It was a sad day.
I think it's just, for me, I would rather listen to podcasts like the ones that we're doing, and the ones that, like, One Up Yours, I'd rather just listen to them talk about it and just, you know, base my own judgment off of the way they talk about it and that kind of thing. So
it's I think it's a much better way to go, especially for a lot of games like the ones that don't get a lot of coverage, like the Psychonauts, Beyond Good and Evils, and all those kind of games, like, or even games that got a mediocre score, like, say, 7.5, and then you hear people talking about it on, like, a podcast, and you hear, like, different people's opinions. It's, you'd be like, well, actually, a lot of people thought it was a really good game. It actually was a good game, just the score didn't really reflect it. And yeah, exactly. Like you said, you get a better idea.
Right.
Instead of just, you know, reading a number.
Everybody buy Earth Defense Force.
Yes,
yeah.
Buy Earth
actually,
Defense
I'm gonna,
Force.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people told me it's pretty good. I'm going to give that a shot. I think I'm going to rent
it. You should. Especially considering it's probably budget right now.
Yeah, it's a shitty, shitty game, but it's fun as hell.
It's a B movie. Think
would
of
you
that
give
way.
It a 10 or a 5?
No.
No, I wouldn't give it a 10 or a 5.
Would I pick it up over, I don't know, if I had a choice between, you guys are going to kick my ass, but if I had a choice between that and Heavenly Sword.
Oh, God, dude, don't even go.
I have both, okay? I have both. Yeah. But if I just want real quick, fun action, I'm going to go with Earth Defense Force.
Really? See, there you go, guys. Like, that's exactly the perfect example. I would be like, I wouldn't do that, but to say I wrote a review on Earth Defense Force, obviously I'm not going to be all that high on it and be like, pick this up over Heavenly Sword, but if Jay happened to write that review, it would be the total opposite. So, can reviews be trusted in whole? No one will ever know, really.
Right.
I think you have to find
someone that you relate to.
Stick with them. And that's kind of the way it works. You have to find someone who thinks how you do, and... I don't want to beat it. I'm sorry. I was going to go back to the whole thing. There was this whole controversy about the Ratchet and Clank review that GameSpot did, and the fact that the guy who did it, most of the games he reviewed were sports games. It's like the last platform game he reviewed was like a year and a half ago or whatever, and all of a sudden, you know, GameSpot gives a 7.5, and I don't know, but then Two Worlds is a 7, you know, so. those two games are that close together.
Yeah. Then you get the whole thing of genre shouldn't be compared, and an 8 in this genre isn't worth like an 8 in this genre kind of thing. That's all. And what all comes out, hey guys, just out there, you don't have to buy a game on day one. Like, no one's putting a gun to your head saying, like, you know what, this review's whatever. He said it's crap. You're not going to buy it. I mean, you can still rent games.
Rent something. Gamefly.
Exactly.
Ding.
Yeah. Dude, there you go.
All right, so quick
this
question.
This episode has been brought to you by...
Do you guys Gamefly. Think... That the score-based review system is broken.
Oh, I think it's totally broken.
Yes, absolutely.
But the same way, I just think there's got to be something there. Get rid of the number. A simple, like, rent it, buy it, stay away from it.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect.
Well,
thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah. I think in most cases it's broken. I think that there are some places where you could probably go and it'll be just like smaller sites that just happen to be writing reviews about games, and, you know, it's possible that you might be able to find one that the number-based system doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily broken.
Yeah.
But, you know, in general, I think it's, in general, I think it's just, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
All right. So shall we move on?
Let's do it.
I think we shall.
Do you have anything else to...
I have to write up my review of this episode after this, so... I'm going to get to bed to get that.
7.3.
1.2. You guys were too long again. Okay. new releases. My God. Are we going to get anything good anytime soon? I mean, there's two or three good things on this list. All right.
Well,
so I'm going to start with... Yeah, it is my opinion. Maybe I should review all these games. Okay. I'm going to start with the Wii.
Okay, you know what? Actually, before you name them, I say you do pick a game off here and you do a little formal review on one of our upcoming episodes.
How about
I'm just
going to
throw that out
for
there.
You.
Yeah, we get...
No,
or,
that,
you know,
no,
no, no. The listeners get to pick. How about the listeners get to vote? And of these games you're going to name, he's got to go out and rent one of these and do a review on the show. Just a quick one, four-minute review. I think we should do it up, Chris.
You guys suck.
Gauntlet has been thrown down. Suck it up, Riccio.
See how you handle the pressure.
All right, so I'm just gonna not mention half these games then. let's see. Oh, look, the Wii. I'm not gonna mention any of those games.
what about kids' sports basketball?
Be a sport. How about?
What about Pimp My Ride, bitch?
Hell yeah!
Hell yeah! So yeah, the Wii is getting Pimp My Ride. That's going to be entertaining. It's good. It's good that this is a kids system, and they're bringing out a game that says Pimp My Ride.
Hells yeah!
Showtime Boxing, Super Swing Golf Season 2, Indy 500 Legends, Kawasaki Quad Bikes, and Jason's favorite, Kids Sports Basketball.
I like the creepy KIDZ. That's hardcore.
Kids, you know you're hardcore when you know.
They should have put a Z at the end of sports too. Kids.
What's with
sports?
The Z business?
It's so inconsistent.
It's interwebs.
It's a Z, people. It's a Z. Sorry.
And Mythmakers Orbs of Doom.
What the hell is that? I've never even heard of that.
I don't know.
Don't care. All right, moving along.
I don't care either. So, anyway.
Folks, that's my vote. just throw it. You know.
Fuck you, Jeff. Fuck you very much. Okay.
You're welcome.
On DX, DS. Yes. Is Luxor 2.
Okay. I've at least heard of that one.
All right. Big release. 360. Madden NFL 08 Espanol.
Muy bueno.
Muy bueno. Also NCAA March Madness 2008. Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, there's a lot coming to PS3. Not all of it's great, but Black Site Area 51.
No.
I'm gonna save the good releases to last. NCAA March Madness 2008. Uh-huh. History Channel Battle for the Pacific.
Sweet.
Yay. And then the two that everyone should be looking for.
Yes.
Unreal Tournament 3.
Nice.
And Orange Box.
There you go. Those are actually good. You guys have a 360.
PS3 owners, if you do not have a 360, you should be buying Orange Box on the time it comes out.
And please, if you like shooters, buy Unreal Tournament 3. They've never done well on consoles, and this is actually an exclusive. You PS3 owners who only have PS3 deserve, like, it's going to be a great game. Please buy it and show some respect for Epic.
I mean, I don't even like first-person shooters, and I might buy this game. So
yeah.
Hey, don't they, didn't they put in support for keyboard and mouse? I think they did.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's pretty good
so
stuff,
all
man.
1% of the people will be using it on PS3.
Hey, if you're a PC gamer and you can't afford a PC that can generate the power that a PS3 can generate, it's a cheaper way out.
Yeah, good point.
You can use your keyboard and mouse, and that's the way you're used to doing it. All right, PSP, Luxor Pharaoh's Challenge. I don't know what Luxor is. I think it's a puzzle game.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually had this pronounced out for myself at one point. So, okay, we're at PS2 right now, and it's Daisen Rakeo? Raku? I don't know.
What? Okay.
That's what it's called. It's Daisen Raiku Exceed. I have no idea what it is, but it was on the list, so I put it on there. Madden NFL 08, Espanol.
Espanol.
In Espanol.
We're in! And NCAA March Madness 2008. And Jason and my fuck yeah pick of the week.
Yeah.
Neo Geo Battle Coliseum.
Oh.
This is a budget $20 team tag team fighting game with characters from, Jason, make sure I get all these right, World Heroes, Art of Fighting, Fatal Fury, Samurai Showdown, Last Blade, Metal Slug. I mean, come on.
This sounds like a Smash Brothers of Neo Geo.
And Kazuya Encounter.
And Kazuya
For real, Encounter. I actually made a column in our spreadsheet. The fuck yeah column.
It's got fuck yeah.
This is the first title to ever get the fuck yeah. And actually, I should put fuck yeah under Orange Box too, but you know.
Yeah, right.
And Orange Box and Unreal Tournament. So there you have it.
It would have been just a high five if it was
what was this?
Price.
Sorry,
it's
what
only
was this
$20,
game for?
So.
This is for PS2. It's for PS2. Oh. And I will most likely be buying it, so.
Oh, yeah.
Good deal.
All right.
That's new releases.
And get used to these guys. There's nothing good coming out after this week for about another month or two.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey. By the way, just so everybody knows, usually EB Games is pretty reliable when it comes to release dates within a week. So that's where we get it. So if some of these are wrong, I apologize. That's where I'm getting them.
Don't give it.
Because, you know, that's the people are going to be pissed when they run over to EB Games to get their History Channel Battle for the Pacific, and it's not there.
That's right.
It's your head. Just remember that. Just remember that.
What do you mean Luxor's not out? Chris said it was.
But he said I could get Pit My Ride, bitch.
There we go. I'm hoping that one's there. So great next to my fucking 50 Cent.
Bulletproof. 50 Cent?
50.
That's straight up hardcore. 50
Cent shot 9 times.
Right.
Oh, we're going to hell.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Jason, there. Did we get any? Did anybody bother to email the show this week?
Probably you know what? Not many.
And next
not
week,
many
fuck.
At all.
What are did we going to have though? Listeners next after this week?
We've got like a hardcore crew of repeat offenders. I mean, listeners. I mean, people that listen all the time and keep sending us emails. One of those people, we've mentioned him numerous times in the show, Eamon. How's it going, buddy?
He Ricky writes, Dute.
Yep, Dute. He says, all right, guys, I absolutely loved it. This is in response to episode number 3, I think.
Start off with a lie. Yes.
I listened to it at work, and I had so much fun. I got so involved. Oh, my God, Ricky. You have no life. I got so involved in it that I laughed so hard, and then I had to look around to see if people were looking at me weird. By the time I was done, the hours just flew by, and I was so ahead of my work, I just took a break for a while. Keep up the good work. I really enjoyed it.
I need to pause this email for a second.
Okay.
Only because I agree with him, because I when I was listening to last week's podcast, when we got to new releases, I just started dying, because Jason had me cracking up after I heard what he was saying.
Strawberry shortcake, yeah. That was pretty fun.
The one thing that got to me was like, all right, 360, strawberry shortcake! I was like, oh, fuck.
Dude, that would be awesome on the 360.
Yeah, you guys out there, it's totally different when you're recording the show, then you go back and listen to it. It's just like...
because you don't hear everything when you're talking, because you can't always hear everyone over who you're talking. But when you go back and listen to it, man, I was in tears. I was laughing so much. And this girl that we work with, Stephanie, she was like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay.
All right, Ricky, Jason's your check's in the mail, buddy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so to answer some of your questions, my last name is not actually Dute or Duty or Dute. Ricky Dute is my stage name, to be honest. I've been known as Ricky my whole life, but I came up with Dute when I started playing drums in a band, so the story on that, and it's pronounced Dute as I've been pronouncing it, but you guys can call me Ricky or Eamon. Duly noted. All right. He also wanted to correct us. Assassin's Creed voice actor is Philip Shabazz. She played Altair.
No, that's he's not correcting. He's actually
he's not correcting
Jeff's question from last.
Yeah, week. I asked if he was the same dude, the same guy who did Altair and the guy who's in the real world.
So apparently no.
All right, I'm following along then. Okay, good. Let's see. Oh, he does think that he was a
Thank
bit
you
weak.
For that.
He sounds like he's reading a paper instead of acting. I like the story of the game, so I keep at it. And I have actually stopped playing Uncharted to play this game. And Rock Band, of course.
That's interesting.
Sorry, Chris.
I do agree, though.
I'm more into sword fighting and stealth action than shooting, but when I finish the game, I swear I will go back and finish Uncharted.
You better. I'll hunt you down and kill you. Oh, sorry.
Also, I want to thank Chris for praising me on my Rock Band drum playing. I will say that even though I do know how to play drums, some of the songs in Rock Band are just retarded. I agree. Mostly because I've never heard them, and two, because it's so different to play a drum set where you have cymbals and drums, as opposed to playing the four colored pads with a pedal. It's still a lot of fun, I enjoy it, and we do need to play more online, and have Jason join us, and Jeff, when the game comes out in Canada.
I'll see you online. Bring down the band.
He's also got a response to the question of the week, which we'll get to in just a minute. What other emails did we have? All right, so the other email we have is from RavenBlade86. He writes to say, all right, guys, how goes it? Good.
Hey.
What up? Last week's show was pretty sweet. Long, but with great quality. The gift guide was really good. Most places that do gift guides just cover games, but people spend a massive amount of time on accessories for gaming as well, and a lot of the stuff out there is just a load of junk and normally a ripoff as well. I agree.
So
a question for you guys that we forgot last week, I'm sorry. Can you ever see a strategy game becoming popular in the console market? Next year we will have titles like End War and Civilization Revolution coming out, and both are trying in different ways to increase their appeal to console gamers. But will it work?
What do you guys think? I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so? Why is that?
I don't think console gamers have the patience for it, and they're very, the controls for them are always overly complex. And if you have a PC, it's really easy to zoom around with a mouse and a keyboard. But
true. And I would have said that about 6 months ago, maybe a year.
I told Battle for Middle Earth.
No, actually, I would have said, I'm sorry, there's no keyboard. I'm sorry, there's no mouse. Can't do it. Can't be done.
And now there is a keyboard and there's a mouse.
Exactly. So there's potential.
So that's, yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing, Jason. I, you know, even and especially since we just mentioned it with Unreal, you know, if they actually support keyboard and mouse setup, I can see people playing RTSs on.
They won't. RTS fans, for the most part, have always been PC. They're not going to move to the console, and I don't think.
And
RTS.
I
will
agree with Jeff on that
consoles.
Point. I mean, console gamers, PC gamers are two different.
Totally
breeds
different.
For the most part.
It's great that Unreal has a keyboard and mouse thing, but I honestly believe maybe 2% of the people that actually buy that game will actually use mouse and keyboard on their PS3.
And whereas I agree with you, I think it is a good step.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's definitely a good option for sure.
There are going to be those PC gamers out there that, you know, right now maybe they can't afford to upgrade their PC to handle DirectX 10 and buy all the bullshit to get Vista running, you know? And maybe it's easier for them to just go out and buy a PS3 that can support keyboard and mouse. So, you know,
sorry to interject here, but the problem with that is RTS games always come out first on the PC. By the time they usually do come to consoles, you can afford a PC that will play them. And when they're by the time they look, they're on a console, they look kind of dated. And I don't think an RTS will ever come out first on a console unless, one, it has Halo in the name, which when Halo Wars sells a shit ton, it doesn't mean RTSs are doing well on consoles, because it is going to sell a lot just because it has Halo in the name. People are going to bring it home and be like, what the fuck is this? And then take it back and trade it in. Not saying it's not going to be a good game or it's going to be a great game, just that I think a lot of people are going to just buy it because of Halo. So I'm just saying this, but I don't know. I can't see it cashing on. People are just, they're always going to come to PC first, and until a game, someone has the balls to put an RTS game first on PS3 or like a simultaneous release on both. It's even Command & Conquer was delayed, and you know, Command & Conquer for 360, Command & Conquer 4, whatever one it was, and it sold like shit. I can't see it happening. I mean, it's a good thing that they're moving and giving the support of mouse and keyboard. I just can't see something like that taking off. That's just, I don't know.
I think that's just my opinion. For the most part, I think, like I said, it's got to be potential, but I don't think it's ever really, really going to take off.
Yeah, someone's going to have to totally change the gameplay mechanics to make it work, I think.
Okay. All right. That's about it for emails. We did have we had one answer for the question of the week. That was from Eamon once again. The question of the week last week was what's your gaming setup? Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Ricky wrote, I have a 37-inch widescreen LCD Magnavox screen, 1080i. I don't have any sound systems yet, but I have all three next-gen consoles, and I have a HD switch box to switch in between them and my computer. Yes, my computer is connected to my TV through the component cables and runs the 1080i, and it sure looks pretty on it.
Attaboy. I bet your porn looks pretty on it too, doesn't it?
Yeah. He says he'll send a picture later. He's at work, whatever. We'll never see it. Come on, Ricky.
Get to see that razor burn up close in HD.
No.
Sorry.
All right, so do you guys want to go into a little bit of detail about your
I can explain. Yeah, why not? I mean,
we could do some quick overviews.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Jeff.
I mean, I was going to say you go ahead, Chris, because you're the one who... Actually, no, Jay, come on. You just got into this whole HD
True.
Era.
True, and I've slimmed down. I'm really, really proud of myself. So we've got the 42-inch plasma up on top. My lovely wife is more about keeping things looking consistent and nice and pretty as opposed to... Mm-hmm. displaying everything. So we've got this entertainment center, once again air quotes over the radio. It's basically a cabinet that I've cut holes in the back, and that houses my 360. What else do I have? I've got a Wii, and I've got the PS3. We've got our TiVo and stuff underneath there too. I also have my big bulky Xbox One, because I have it modded and I use it as a media center. That's not going anywhere for a while, by the way. Aside from that, that's out in the living room, by the way. But in the man cave, we've got all of the older systems. Like, I've got my PS2 in here, GameCube, all kinds of shit. It's the man cave. That's probably like a 27-inch, I think, TV. think, yeah, the highest it goes is like S video. But
that's all right. For PS2 and stuff like that, Xbox, that's good enough.
Yeah,
yeah, it's fine. So
it's all right. I'm just, I didn't want to, like, I remember when I got my 360, I'm like, yeah, I don't need HD. Who needs HD? But the second I saw an HD setup running a 360, I was like, yeah.
I need HD.
Yeah, I need HD, and I can't go back. I just have a 27-inch sharp backless 1080i 720p TV. I have a surround sound system up in, it's all in my bedroom, in there. Pretty crappy receiver, but it gets the job done. Speakers aren't too bad. And that's basically where I do pretty much all my gaming. And then in our downstairs floor, kind of like the main living area, we have the regular standard def TV. I think it's about 32 inches with, there's a Dreamcast hook up to it, PS2, and original nice. Xbox. Yeah. That's about it.
My Dreamcast. Damn it. I'm looking around and I'm like, I don't see it. Now I'm all worried about it. Where did it go? Okay. I'm going to have to listen to that after the show. Probably.
All right. Well, I've got, my setup is weird. I'll start in the center.
He sits outside.
I have a 57-inch Mitsubishi DLP TV. I think nice. DLP is the way to go for gaming just because of the refresh rate. So, it's sitting on my old coffee table.
Nice.
Because I got a new coffee table. So I actually went and tried to buy a TV stand, and it took them way too long to get the TV stand for me. So I was just like, no, you know what? I don't even want it anymore. So I have it sitting on top of my old coffee table. Underneath the coffee table, there's a shelf, and on the shelf is my TiVo, my cable box, and my my mid speaker for my surround sound system. Then I have two glass door entertainment towers. I call one my HD tower and one my S video tower. And the HD tower is my everything's hooked up to a selector. And I've got my 360, my PS2, my PS3, and my Wii, along with my surround sound system. And then in the S-Video tower, I have my GameCube, my N64, my Saturn, my Dreamcast, and my old Xbox. So I've got a ton of crap.
And, Chris, you really need to upload a picture of your rig, actually.
Yeah,
I'll get one of mine.
Just surrounding the TV, there's just like, it's gamer heaven. I'm serious. Yeah. Geek heaven on there. It's great.
I actually have a space set aside so I can bring my Turbo Duo down and hook that sucker back up. Because I miss it. So, yeah, Raise there we go.
Where the hell is my Dreamcast?
Didn't a new game come out for Dreamcast like a week ago? Or like a month ago?
Well, yeah, they've been making shmups over in Japan. Just people, you know, fan-based stuff to that are throwing out discs. All right, well, that brings us to next week's question of the week. Jason,
what
why don't you
game
do,
do you
one?
Want to see Chris play and review? I'm just kidding, by the way. It's not really a question of the week.
Fuck you, Jeff. Fuck you very much.
I still want you guys to do it.
All right, I'm still struggling with this name. I know he phonetically, you know, typed it out. Nabokov fan, 87.
Nabokov fan, yeah.
Sure. As far as actual question, I post the following. On the PS3, specifically PSN, I buy games like Flow, Grip Shift, Calling All Cars, but after the first month or so, I just don't want to play them. Have you guys ever done the same? Is there any downloadable games for any system that you have actually played and kept playing?
Do you want us to answer this now, or should we wait till next
week?
No,
we're going to hold this one until next week. So this is our question of the week posed to our listeners this week. So I actually had a simplified version of it. Do you play downloadable games for an extended period of time? And if so, what are they?
Yep, there you go.
There you have it.
I think this is going to vary a lot Uno. From different people. Uno, yeah, we already know what Jay's stance is. Uno. Yeah.
Uno.
Uno.
The killer app for the 360.
I've got a couple. I've got a couple.
I do too.
And we'll get to that next week.
I already talked about one earlier, too.
We're going to leave you guys in suspense.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. So I think that pretty much wraps it up for us today, huh, guys?
I think it does. Yeah, we can't do much worse, okay?
Well, if you guys are still with us, we are really sorry that we keep running this far over, but it's just a lot of stuff to talk about, you know, and we hope that you at least think that it's a good listen, and you keep listening, and we will see you next week.
That's right. Take it easy.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Take care.